horses grazing in a field.
There's a perfection about Clydesdales.
A woman in a paddock.
They are incredible athletes, incredibly graceful in their movement. Just big personalities. It makes you feel small and humbled and incredibly privileged to be with them.
Ponies cantering.
They're beautiful. They are just beautiful.
A white blaze.
In order to have a Clydesdale become your partner, you really have to put your ego to the side and really be there for that creature that depends on you.
The horse's brown eyes.
I see them as just the most amazing breed. It's a treasure trove of positive traits and characteristics that I absolutely am passionate that we should not lose.
You only need to look at the herd books to see that it's diminishing. There are far fewer horses. You don't need to be an expert to know that. That's just obvious. I started asking questions to people who bred the horses. And they were telling me shocking stories of the breed entering what they call the extinction vortex. When a number of factors come together, and unless you react quickly, the whole breed can just collapse. So I could either pretend I hadn't heard that, or else I could do something about it. It's now or never. We've really got to save this breed. They touch the soul. They really do.
She hugs the large black horse's muzzle while resting her lips on his white blaze. Clydesdale, Saving the Greatest Horse. Presented by Janice Kirkpatrick. Busy traffic in Glasgow, then pedestrians on a sunny street. Janice is inside a company called Graven.
I'm Janice Kirkpatrick. I'm a designer. I have a business in Glasgow with my husband, an architect called Ross Hunter.
We met when we were students. We work for some of the big global players, British Airways, banks like RBS, a lot of them. Am I not allowed to say that?
No.
Riding a motorbike.
I suppose I've always been a big kid my whole life in lots of ways. I like toys. I like bikes. The power is remarkable. Horses are the same. I think women at a young age identify with the power a horse can give them. And it's exciting. I was always interested in the Clydesdale horse through my love of horses, but also through design. 30-odd years of practising as a designer, I've come to truly believe that old is gold. And for me, the Clydesdale is very much this kind of a thing.
A dilapidated barn full of rubble with broken roof tiles, then a huge farmhouse in the countryside.
Do you remember when horses were here?
Yeah, but I mean, I can remember when there was horses here, but there's not much of it left.
Oh, boy.
Archive photographs of people working in the barn.
This is a barn that would have at one time had several horses in it. These would have been big horses. Clydesdales. The preeminent breed, the best breed. You know, the most highly bred horses in human history. And people were immensely proud of their horses.
The breed was born in the Clyde Valley, to the southwest of Glasgow.
Horses running in a field.
Everything that came from the Clyde was of incredible quality. You know, the ships, the locomotives, steam engines, and the Clydesdale horse.
Ploughing.
In the lowlands of Scotland, let's not forget the great work that's been done and is still being done by the ploughman and his good servant, the horse, the heavy horse, Scotland's pride and joy, the Clydesdale.
You need a really well-assembled musculoskeletal frame to get great power from the rear end of a horse, because it's the great power that gives it its ability to push into a collar and move, you know, a ton weight. And it's also the power you need for a great riding horse.
That's where the big horse race started.
The race to create the biggest horses, which could produce the most power that would fuel the agricultural revolutions and industrial revolution.
I love coming to shows like this because it really reminds me of just how long the Clydesdale has been part of our culture, our history.
That's a nice one, though. That looks lovely.
Is it square buckles or round buckles? Yeah, but square buckles,
proper square buckles.
Those who are taking part in the paired sprint race will be given a medal.
I think my earliest memory is of being at what must have been a country fair or a fete in Dumfries. And I must have been really wee, not much more than a toddler. And I remember gripping onto the front of the saddle and looking down and the movement of the horse going like that and thinking, oh.
Janice on a horse as a child.
When I think I was 7, I started proper riding lessons. Thereafter, I became hooked.
I've got the winner of...
When I was a kid, shows with Clydesdale horses would have been packed and it would have been really exciting. It would have been a real celebration, go and see the big horses. Today, it's a much thinner affair. There are fewer people and older people.
A small crowd.
Some of the older photography, I mean, they had dappled greys, they had horses of all colours, which I think would have been quite amazing to see.
Horses lined up.
Today, there's really only one colour of horse, and that's brown. And also, there's not many horses.
Well, this class is just being shown just now. In the mid-90s, there could have been 20 in that class. And there are 3 today.
No, we need new ones.
So I'm not quite sure why.
And that was number 27 from Charles Jimison.
The overwhelming fact of the Clydesdale is that the horse and everything that surrounds it is ageing.
Catalogues are available from the marquee at the top end of the arena.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Joseph.
In a barn.
Hello, Phoebe.
Janice is marking out her horse's stables at her and Ross's farm in Linsiston, Ayrshire.
When I went to Glasgow School of Art, I was 18, and the awful thing was I had to sell my horse because no one else in the family rode. And it scarred me very deeply. I still have a lot of regret over it. I always had a heartening to go back and to ride again. So I decided I wanted a Clydesdale. I wanted a black one. The blacks really appealed to me. I mean, it's a personal thing. I just think that they look amazing. I had a look around and I couldn't find any black horses in the UK. So I ended up with this one. He's an American Clydesdale from Oregon. Joe. He's got a really expressive face. He's very old-fashioned in style. He's a big horse by any measure. He's about just a shade under 18 hands.
Riding the huge black Clydesdale.
Woo!
What makes the Clydesdale so special is, for me, just the sheer power of them. They are just magnificent. Guys like Joe, who can be so light, absolutely light as a feather. And when you get that power with the lightness, it's a really special thing.
When I'd made the decision to get a black Clydesdale, I got really interested in why there were no black horses in the UK. What had happened to the black horses? Where had they gone?
A stone carving of a large Clydesdale horse with its front leg raised. Now Janice is driving along a country road.
I'm on my way to meet Shona Harrison, whose partner, John Zawadzki, sadly died a few months ago. John was a real expert in the Clydesdale world, and he travelled up and down the UK to visit different shows.
A rural farm from above.
I think this is it.
Come into John's office.
I'd love to.
A lot of it's just to say he left it, because it's going to take a long time to go through things. Just watch the steps. Photographs galore.
Fantastic.
It's,
There's a one called Grand National that's used as a
It's W. Johnson, 1918.
I'm very interested in how the horses change over the centuries.
They definitely have changed a lot. Over here...
It's a very organised
As I was saying, the breed history is all down here. Clydesdale Horse Society history. All that up there is history of Clydesdale Horse Society. All original documents, like newsletters, letters from the secretary, that sort of thing.
I'm just amazed. It's not at all what I expected. So he's pieced together all the stallion information. This has gone back decades and decades, you know, like centuries. It's a cornucopia. I've never known anything like it.
A family tree.
Just gorgeous.
Shona's collection includes antique sales catalogues from Scotland's most famous breeder of Clydesdales, Lawrence Drew.
Drawings of horses.
They are just exceptional. I've never seen catalogues like this ever. They are absolutely exceptional. It's a sale catalogue for the Rolls-Royces of horses. Lawrence Drew, he knew what he was doing. You know, when you look at Prince of Wales, I'm sure there must be a note somewhere about his colour, but he looks like a very black horse. I've not seen a Clydesdale stallion in the herd today that looks like this horse.
A black Clydesdale with a smooth coat and a slick mane. Janice climbs steps to Ross's desk in Graven.
Russell.
Mm-hmm.
This is the treat.
Oh my.
It's the catalogue for the dispersal sale of Lawrence Drew's herd.
This is 150 years old. That's amazing.
That's Prince of Wales, one of the foundation sires. And these are all drawn.
Wow.
It's just awesome.
Wow, what a size of a horse. Look at that.
It's incredible.
He's got a lovely smile as well.
I would too, I think, if I were him. I missed this the first time, and I looked at the next page, and then I flicked back, and I found that.
Does this still exist?
I don't know.
A sketch of a crowd beneath the arch in Meryton.
Meryton was where the first Clydesdale horses were really created.
So what happened to the black horses? I started to dig.
Janice looks at a satellite image of the old farm.
I'm relieved to find that Meryton is still a farm. It looks like the baronial tower is still there and many of the original buildings.
Janice reaches Meryton and examines the old drawing of the farm on her phone. She holds it up beside the buildings in front of her to compare.
Meryton, this is where Lawrence Drew had his operation.
In Larkhole.
He was absolutely clear that his horses weren't just to be beautiful. They had to be functional, and boy, they had to be sound.
Lawrence Drew, he was an entrepreneur, he was a showman. Drew knew where he was going with the commercial part of the business.
Thousands of horses were exported. And because this was very much a business, they were building a brand. And this was a big plan. This was a worldwide plan. This was about exporting to Australia and Russia and Italy and North America and Canada. And the blacks had been exported as being amongst the highest quality.
A horse lifted by a wire above a ship.
If Drew had lived, I would just love to have seen what he could have bred. But he died, hence the dispersal sale.
The sale would have drawn people from all over the world, and apparently 6,000 people attended it. So all of his stock, which was really, you know, a treasure trove of the breed, it was being dispersed throughout the world.
The old barn with metal railings and a tall ceiling. Janice is in a speeding train that's surrounded by greenery.
I had a hunch that because Clydesdale horses had been exported, that there was a package of genetic material that had been exported with them. I want to understand more about the underlying health of the Scottish herd and get a snapshot of whether or not our gene pool is healthy. I quickly discovered that the UK has a very small and shrinking pool of Clydesdale horses, which means it's very hard to keep the breed healthy in the future.
I looked in a bit further and started talking to people about it, talking to the vets about it, and they started telling me about problems with the breed.
I started asking questions to people who bred the horses.
So we lost five in 1 year, in a summer.
And they were telling me shocking stories of the mortality rate and issues with breeding. Like, massively reduced fertility in mares and stallions, and increased foal mortality, which means there are simply fewer horses and there's less genetic diversity. Clear signals of the breed entering what they call the extinction vortex. And unless you react quickly, the whole breed can just collapse.
A brown Clydesdale with a white blaze.
And that changed everything.
Buildings in Glasgow from above.
Everyone knows there's a problem. Nobody knows what the solution is, and nobody wants to act first. I just found it just incredibly sad. It's like I couldn't possibly not try and do something about it. I really needed to go and speak to some scientists to find out exactly what was happening.
The first thing we need to find out is how healthy is the herd in Scotland.
Janice is researching on her laptop.
I'm going to find somebody, who has the knowledge to find out what's happening and what needs to be done. Secondly, we need to find out if there is an issue with inbreeding. And the most important question is, can the breed survive? That is the really big question.
She comes across the scientist, Jessica L. Peterson.
Hi. I'm trying to get through to Jessica Peterson.
Hi, Janice.
Thanks for taking this call. I really appreciate it. I'm really hoping that you can help unravel this Clydesdale mystery. I'm trying to understand how viable the genetic population is in our Clydesdale horses in Scotland. I'm wondering if there's a way that we can measure that, if that would be something that you could help with.
It seems like something that we could get at using genetic data. How diverse is this population? Are the Scottish horses different than North American horses? So definitely something that's up my alley.
Jessica has agreed to do a genetic study of the Clydesdale populations in the USA, Canada and the UK. And in order to do this, she needs DNA from horses in all three countries. By collecting that DNA, she can get a snapshot of the diversity and therefore the health of the populations in those respective countries.
Drawing a map.
So Jessica is going to get 50 samples from Canada, 50 samples from the USA, which leaves me to get 50 samples from the UK. And that gives us 150 hair follicle samples, which is 150 bits of horse DNA. That should be great. We should be good to go with that.
At home, Janice has a box on her table.
This is my little toolkit for my genetic collections. It requires the breeder to provide a hair sample of around 30 to 40 follicles, which are pulled from the mane or the tail. I'm going to do 3 horses this morning.
In her stables.
That's us. That's our first sample. So that's about, I would say, 30, 40 hairs with the roots intact. Stick that in an envelope. What I'm going to do this afternoon is contact breeders in the UK independently, explain to them the project and ask them to participate. Hi, it's Janice Kirkpatrick, trying to reach Caroline Reynolds regarding the Clydesdale DNA information. There's this feeling generally within the kind of Clydesdale owners in Scotland and in the UK that everything's just okay. You know, they see the horse outside in the field and the horse looks healthy, and I don't think we've quite got the urgency of the situation. But people have been actually okay about it, saying yes, we'll do it. Thanks, thank you. To get the bags of 1, 2, 3, 4. You're a star, thank you. It would just really help. 16 samples, fantastic. I'm sort of individual behind the Clydesdale project. Another 2, got another 2. Ah, Blackstone. Thank you, Bob. 234, 36. So far, so we need another 14. Thank you so much. Bye. 49, 50. We have 50 samples. We've got 50 samples. That means that we've actually managed to find enough DNA to do our survey of the Clydesdale population. It's really good.
An ethereal pink sky above the countryside. Now a bird's eye view of buildings in Glasgow City. 2 months later, a sign for the Clydesdale Genetics Project on a window. Inside, a woman brings an envelope to Janice.
Yeah.
This is kind of
close
for you, Janice.
Oh, thanks, Zoe. These are the results of the DNA analysis.
She cuts open the top of the envelope with scissors and pulls out the documents inside. She holds up the paper and scans it, while Ross, who's sitting beside her, reads over her shoulder.
Ah, dust generated from these samples support what you suspected. Based upon the relative isolation and small population size of Clydesdales in Scotland, they do have less diversity than Clydesdales studied from North America. And there is an increase in inbreeding within the Scottish population. Jessica, I've only skimmed it, but it seems that our hunch was right, that there is an issue with genetic diversity.
So, yes. The concern about the Scottish population being very small in size held true in that inbreeding estimates of the horses in Scotland were generally quite a bit higher than from horses in North America. And that goes back again to the small population size, where if there's just not a whole lot of horses, you're going to be mating relatives to relatives whether or not you are intending to do so.
For the first time, I think we have definitive scientific genetic proof that the Clydesdale herd in Scotland is in danger. We have to do something about it.
Clydesdales in a field.
it suddenly dawned on me that I could maybe bring back some new genetic material, new genetic Clydesdale material to Scotland that would give it some diversity and some sustainability.
She writes, where did the horses go?
The very best horses were exported because they commanded the highest prices. They were exported to Canada from Glasgow, from Liverpool, and then from Canada they went down into the United States and South America.
An arrow to Canada.
When the genetic material was dispersed, some pretty big herds were founded across Canada. And some of the black bloodlines are in these herds today, the black bloodlines that have the roots in the old stud books in Scotland. What I'm looking for is a great-looking and great-performing pregnant breeding mare so I can create black Clydesdale horses in Scotland.
Janice walks up a hill.
I think the time has now come for the horse to come back home again to the place it was created. It's important that I bring a horse back into the UK that is as different as possible genetically from the horses that we have at the moment, because by doing that, I will strengthen and widen and deepen the genetic pool.
Janice reaches a fence and shields her eyes from the setting sun as she gazes across her horse pasture. An aeroplane landing on a strip that's lit up by lights. Now Janice is driving along a wide road beside vast stretches of farmland, and a train speeds nearby. Saskatchewan, Canada.
Wow.
Wearing sunglasses, Janice looks out of her window at the train moving along beside her, and a smile spreads across her face. In the distance, the train passes by the immense sandy-coloured fields. The sun's glowing white in the bright blue sky as Janice continues her journey along the rural road.
I've come to Saskatchewan because there are descendants of the original horses that were exported from Scotland to Canada all these years ago.
Scott on a sign.
Here we go. Yep, I think you got some Clydesdales.
Horses grazing.
It's just such an amazing country. It's so big, you know, and flat, and vast and endless. It's so different from Scotland and the land that we bred those horses on originally. With me, I have got John Hankinson, who is a long-standing good friend. He's an equine manipulator. He's a master farrier. He's got a whole bunch of tools in his box. Let's just go in this way.
That's it?
Yep.
She drives into a farm with lots of buildings and parks.
We're here.
At last.
Janice, how are we doing?
Oh, good to see you.
Good to see you.
So
hi there, how you
this
doing?
Is Derek.
Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you.
Derek C is from a family of Clydesdale breeders. I think they're the fifth generation of Clydesdale breeding.
The farm from above. Then Janice, Derek, and John are driving along a dusty road. They reach the herd of Clydesdales in a field. Then, after honking the horn, they stop and get out of the car. The horses stir.
They're coming. They're coming. Awesome.
The huge black beasts with white long hair at the end of their legs start to trot in a line across the mud. They pick up the pace and clouds of dust erupt from their pounding feet. They gallop towards a paddock.
Come on.
Hello. Hello.
Behind a barbed wire fence, Janice holds out some food to a huge Clydesdale. Then others tread towards her. As they tower above him, Derek's scratching two of the beasts on the neck. Then Janice is stroking a horse's chin.
It's just great. This is what I came here for. It's just, it's like swimming with horses. It's just brilliant.
She paces across the long grass and is surrounded by the gentle giants. John rubs a horse between its pointed ears, then a train slowly chugs by in the distance. Janice is gazing up at the animals.
I mean, Derek's herd is vast compared to anything I can look at home. And it's very moving because it evokes the images of these huge studs that we had in Scotland 100 years ago, 150 years ago. It's just such a treat to see that. I've got to be really objective. When I see a horse I like, I'll write down the name, I'll take a photograph on my phone.
Horses touching muzzles.
I want a horse that has big hindquarters, not fat hindquarters, big muscular hindquarters. That's where the power comes. The limbs have got to be straight. I also want a horse that has got really great rhythm, great movement, that has got a kind of cadence to its step.
Amber, 3-year-old. She's got a little bit of an attitude.
Can we take a closer look at
it? Yeah, you betcha.
She caught my eye, she caught John's eye. And she's got nice shoulder. All her zones are good.
And she's actually got quite a nice rear end. What do you think?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing about Amber is she is in foal. Derek thinks it's Willowy Nightlight, who is the big black stallion. So that adds a different dimension. He's quite a rare black bloodline from an excellent herd of Clydesdales.
A lot of check marks you got going there, stuff. I like to see that book when you're all done.
It's tiring because you're concentrating. You're thinking, I mustn't mess this up. I mustn't miss something.
So where do you keep your good ones, Derek?
You know how that works.
So, Janice, what are your thoughts?
I really liked Amber. What did you think?
Well, I think you've mentioned the one that I've got on my sort of list as being the prime candidate. She's in foal, she's got the right attitude, she's got a nice action, she's good, clean-limbed. Looks to tick all the boxes, as I say. She at the moment is the one that I'm thinking is probably the best one for you. What's the plan now? Are we going to do the hands-on bit?
I think that would be a good idea.
Now in a stable, John's feeling around Amber's body.
I wanted a pair of eyes on this horse and a pair of hands on this horse.
Bending the legs.
John's a very, very good judge of how a horse is put together physically.
That's you.
Amber's dark brown with a fringe of hair over her eyes. Her legs and stomach are white and she has a blaze down her face. John's feeling the joints in Amber's back leg, while Janice is holding a pink rein that's attached to Amber's bridle.
So far, so good.
John's also got a good feel for personalities.
She looks pleased.
This is good.
Derek peers in.
A hell of a girl. I like this one.
John hugs Janice.
What, you?
Awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, John. She's a cracking girl, isn't she?
She's, yeah.
Fabulous.
Hey, good girl.
And I think that really affected John. Very rarely he ever finds a horse that tries so hard. And he was just amazed that this horse, which was really a wild horse, was trying so hard to understand what he wanted.
Timog. Timog. Thank you. I'm so pleased that you came with me.
That's the right horse. Her energy is just amazing.
Now Janice is on the phone outside.
Hey there. Yes, I've not organised it all, but yes, we have a horse. You are going to love her. John is absolutely in love with her, like, unbelievably in love with her.
A white pattern of long hair under Amber's chin.
What this horse is bringing over is a whole toolkit of genetic lovely things that could, you know, take the Scottish herd in different directions. And that, for me, is really exciting. This isn't just about even my lifetime, this is about, you know, other people's lifetimes. Of all breeds, the Clydesdale deserves a future.
The horses are treading across the long dry grass together, then the sun setting in the horizon, igniting the sky in an orange glow. Time passes and night falls over the fields. After 5 weeks quarantine in Canada, an aeroplane's landing at Glasgow Prestwick Airport.
So today is D-Day. Really is the conclusion of Amber's journey over here. She's had 3,000 kilometres by road and then another... She's had an eight-hour journey from Chicago. It's been delayed for 5 hours. So she's going to be fairly tired. I'm really looking forward to seeing her. My husband Ross hasn't seen her at all, so it's a big deal for both of us, really.
The Air France cargo plane comes to a stop, then the horse trailer moves out of the open hatch on the aircraft and is lowered to the ground on a hydraulic platform. Now the trailer's being opened, and Janice is watching through a window with a smile on her face. Amber pokes her head out of the trailer, and Ross and Janice gaze at her. Amber's led down a ramp.
Amber coped ridiculously well with the travel. It's now beginning to feel a bit like Christmas. I'm very relieved that she is so cool with everything. She just looks really alert, really interested in it all. She's not fazed by it, so that's good.
Janice and Ross's farm from above. A new day, and Janice is filling a bucket with water from a river. She struggles to lift it up to the bank. Amber trots to her.
Yeah, don't need your help. You're such a pest. Come on, missus. You get rid of her. This is our Canadian lady. Don't be cheeky. She's very cheeky. I don't call my horses by their pedigree names. It's quite nice just to hang with them for a while and find out what their characters are like. She just doesn't feel like an Amber. She's not an Amber Light. This horse is a full-on Green Light. She was just so audacious that I decided to call her Jessie James after the outlaw. Good girl, good girl. Right, Steve-o. We've got John Morris, my local vet.
Come on, Jessie.
Coming to have a look at Jessie.
Now much darker and larger, Jessie heads into her stables wearing a navy rug.
I'm knackered.
John Morris, vet.
This is your new girl, Janice.
This certainly is. Good girl. Good girl.
Right, so it's the identification documents for the Clydesdale Horse Society. She looks a very different type. It's interesting to see that there was another line of Clydesdales differentiated in another country.
In terms of her pregnancy, we don't know quite how far on she is.
It's really very difficult to try and get a date. It's not unusual to find that people sit up for about 2 weeks waiting for their mare to foal, and then they go to bed because they're so tired, and then guess what happens? They foal that night.
And are there any particular features of a Clydesdale birth as opposed to a normal horse birth?
Clydesdales can be more difficult If the foal's not in the right position, then they can get stuck. Beyond that, there's a sort of inner sac. Normally, the foal bursts through that as part of the birth process. But if the foal is born and the sac is over its face, then it can't breathe.
It's quite scary stuff, actually, especially when it's horses that you love. If things go wrong, they go terribly wrong, and they go wrong very, very quickly. I've got a very good imagination. I'm very good at imagining horror stories.
Jessie's brown fringe is long and straight down the blaze on her face.
One thing that's become really clear to me about how we save the Clydesdale is if we can't tie it to a hopeful future, it will die. I really want to create the world centre for this horse that has got some permanence, that's got some sustainability going forward, that builds some value into the horses so that there's a market of people who want to buy them and look after them and enjoy them and keep breeding them.
The Clydesdale's nibbling on some grass, soaring beneath a bridge across a glassy river that's surrounded by greenery in Pollock Park, Glasgow, then a large square building and neatly manicured gardens from above.
The actual archway is 17th century.
Janice follows Hazel Nichols into Pollock Park stables.
I've not been here for years, absolutely years. I think Pollock Park stables are fabulous. They are fabulous. They are beautiful. Early 18th century stables, so they fit entirely with the story of the Clydesdale.
It's actually done well to stay up so well. The roof's not exactly straight, and I see the pigeons have hoofed in, but it's not the worst.
So these would have been the original stables. Tell a few stories.
Lots of teeth marks and foot marks, but no horses.
It'd be great to get them back again.
Oh, certainly would.
That's the plan.
Yes, I hope so.
It seems to me that Pollock House Stables is a bit of a gift because it's right in the centre of Glasgow, in the Clyde Valley. The source of this amazing horse. Pollock Park could be the thing that helps save the Clydesdale.
At her farm, Janice is ladling food into a bucket, then carrying it out to the field where Jess is grazing.
Trying to keep sight of Jessie today because she's really close to giving birth, and I don't want her to creep off and give birth in the field shelter or in some other corner of the field.
Now Janice is getting foal resuscitation equipment out of a bag.
Because things happen really quickly in foaling, this is me being organised. I didn't want to get caught up in the action and not know what to do. At what point does it get dangerous? Just watching the time again with foal standing, sucking. There's a 1-2-3 rule, which is foal standing within an hour, sucking within 2 hours, and placenta passed within 3 hours. If anything goes wrong, it goes catastrophically wrong very, very quickly.
Jess's pointed ear twitches, then chickens flutter their wings. Janice is looking at a tablet.
We installed a little Wi-Fi camera, which is brilliant, because it connects to my mobile phone or my other devices, and it means I can watch what's happening in the foaling box, so I can check during the night and just see where she's at. If there's much movement, the camera tells me there's movement.
Black and white footage capturing Jessie on a bed of hay in the stables.
All we can do now is wait.
Janice gazes across the field with her hand shielding her eyes. Pink and purple clouds in the peaceful sky above the farm. A serene river in Pollock Park, Glasgow. Then the water bubbling by the stables. A bird's eye view of people walking along a path beside the lawns and the forest. Soaring over the old stables in the park, then people coming into the square courtyard. Janice arrives.
I want to bring people together who have an interest in the future of the Clydesdale horse in Pollock Park.
A picture of Clydesdale's on an easel. Then Ross helps Janice pin up her notes in a room with lots of tables.
Around 30% of Clydesdale foals are dying from a range of disorders commonly associated with a diminishing population and a thinning gene pool. And compared to most other kind of common horse breeds, deaths are really rare. So 30% is a huge number. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking for breeders, and it's heartbreaking for the mares who can carry their foals for a year before they give birth. We can do something about it. What I'd like to do now is to explore how we might create a sustainable world centre here in Pollock Park, Pollock Stables, something that's vibrant, that's world class.
She finishes her presentation.
I have been involved in this project. It makes sense to me, and this is the moment when I discover if it is actually going to make sense to anybody else. So there's a lot riding on it.
All breeders as well, I think we need to actually work as one. We need to research old methods, try to find a way of replicating that, look at what's missing.
We're seeing how important it is to have somebody like Janice, who has the energy and drive to just say to people, let's do it.
The urgency of the situation was to sort the gene pool out and have a breeding plan that will ensure the health and the continuity of this breed. It was really good, really positive, really positive. I really feel that we can make something happen. I feel very good about it. You know, when someone feels right, you just know it.
Pink flowers waving in a breeze and mountains in the distance. Janice is on the phone at home.
Hi there, it's Janice Kirkpatrick at Lindsayston. I've a mare who I think might fall tonight. Thank you. Thanks.
Night falls over the farmhouse, which has a large glass conservatory attached. Now black and white footage of Jessie in the stables at 5:30 a.m. She stomps around the hay for a moment, then pauses and stands still. Ross and Janice.
It got to 5:30 in the morning and
nothing was happening.
So I went back to sleep.
At 6 a.m, Jessie puts her head over the railing and her body starts to convulse. She spreads her back legs and gives birth to her foal. Covered in fluid, the baby flops down onto the hay. It lies still. Then it kicks its legs and tries to get up, but the foal's encased in a shiny amniotic sac. Jessie bows her head down and starts to lick it.
I don't like looking back at that film very much. But the foal can't breathe on her own yet because her face is completely covered in this amniotic sac that has to be removed. And Jessie needs to break the sac, and she needs to do it quickly so the foal doesn't suffocate.
Jessie nudges some hay towards her foal with her front foot.
Jessie just instinctively knows that she's got to get the sac off the face of her foal and help her breathe.
Jessie continues to nibble at the membrane. Now finally free, the foal frantically kicks out its long, awkward legs again, trying to get up. Jessie keeps her muzzle close to her baby's neck.
Woke up again, 6:10. And there's this little white face peering out from the straw at the back of the loose box. I was like, shocked.
Where the hell did that come from?
Ross is going,
there's
our
face!
There's
a
face!
Hello! Oh! It's not up yet.
No, it's just
happened. Can you phone John?
John, who's John?
I don't know what it was. The vet.
Janice opens the gate and goes into the stable while Ross leaves. Later, it's raining and the foal still lying on its side. It's light brown with a white face. Jessie licks her foal.
That's a good girl. Yeah. You're beautiful. Yeah. Yeah,
Janice is sitting on the hay.
Is she mine?
When Jessie was pregnant, I was convinced that this foal wanted to be called Snowy. And Ross thought I was mad. She's got a big white face and she's this weird lavender colour with flecks of white through her coat, so she is quite a snowy horse. She'll go pretty much black.
John Morris arrives.
Thanks for coming along, John. I really appreciate it.
Has the foal been
up? No, not yet.
Janice is staring at Snowy.
She's finding it really hard to stand. And we've just been doing a combination of letting her sleep.
Lifting up the foal.
She then gets up. She can actually latch onto the teat now, but she can't stand for long.
Sure.
Snowy falls.
Oh! Oh! Oh,
she's so slippy. It's the milk.
We really want to get Snowy standing so that she can suckle from Jessie and get milk, especially the first milk, which is called colostrum, which has got antibodies in it, which will help build her immune system.
And that's one of the things that can cause mortality in foals, is not getting enough colostrum.
Snowy lies down beside the wall. John gazes at her, then shuffles her body around.
We thought, oh my God, something's going wrong here.
The structure of the foal's stomach changes after 8 hours, and it becomes impossible for the foal then to benefit from this immunity given to it by its mother's milk. John wants to make sure that we've got our immune system kicked in, so he's going to, she's putting a tube into her stomach and putting in quite a lot of colostrum.
Janice uses a device to suck milk from Jess's udder into a jug, then hands it to John. John dips his finger in, then places it in Snowy's mouth.
She's got to be very careful to get the tube into the stomach, not the lungs.
Yeah. Can you see that?
Yeah.
So if you can see it.
Yeah, it's in the right place.
That means it's not in the airway.
No, it's away down here.
Snore and drink at the same time.
The liquid goes through the tube.
Just pull it off. That's good. There we go. Hold on. Okay.
So, all that milk in you, you're going to go. It's gone now.
There you go. Now she's had some colostrum. The biggest problem is getting them up and getting them sucking.
Yeah.
You know, within a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah, good girl. Oh, there you go. Sit it right in my foot, too far back again. It's not in the right bit.
Directing Snowy's head.
Oh, it's always in my mind that I could lose a foal, I could lose a mare.
Looking frustrated, Janice sits beside Ross.
I really, really, really want this foal to suckle. The sooner she can stand up on her own and suck, the better. If only she could stand on her own, it would be perfect.
Jessie nuzzles the back of Snowy's light grey neck. At 12:30 p.m, Snowy's shuffling in the hay. Ross leans his elbows on the gate and gazes in, while Janice and John stand with their backs to the wall in the stable. Snowy tries to push herself up on her spindly legs, but falls back down before she can straighten them. Jessie stretches out her neck and sniffs her baby's head. Jessie takes a few steps back as Snowy tries again, and the foal manages to stand on unsteady legs. Snowy stumbles and flops back down. With Janice's help, Snowy's finally suckling on Jess's teat. The milk drips down onto the hay, and Janice holds Snowy's chin up. Now Snowy's bigger, and her coat is a light brown colour. She's in the paddock with Jessie, and Janice is gazing in at her horses with her arms resting on the gate. Snowy treads over to her.
Yeah, you're going to be a big grey girl. You're going to be a black roan. You're going to be black.
And you got little teeth. These are your teeth. They're tiny teeth. Imagine having tiny little teeth like that. Yeah.
Later, Janice and Ross are riding their majestic Clydesdales along a path.
I think I've achieved way more than I ever set out to do.
There you go. Good girl.
I asked a fairly simple question about, you know, why there were no black horses in the UK.
They turn a corner.
I got a much bigger, deeper, wider answer, which gave us a clear indication of what we need to do to save this breed.
Crossing a verdant field.
And there are many other people who've joined me who also see the potential in this horse.
Come on, Janice.
Rolling hills.
I believe I've at least started the journey of helping them flourish again. You know, how could you not be excited about something that was created in this place? We need to be proud of it and own it and embrace it and make sure it has a bright, shiny future.
The sun casts a warm glow over the breathtaking countryside landscape as Ross and Janice ride their Clydesdales over a hill.